Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, yes, good afternoon. This is a special episode. Today is not Friday, our regular broadcasting time. Today is Thursday, August 25th, 2015, and it is noontime Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. My name is Fayol Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. And today is a special episode as we will remember the victims of the South Carolina church massacre. As this weekend they'll be starting viewings and funeral arrangements. So we wanted to give them respect and really think about how is this affecting not only that community but affecting our nation, as there's been so much gun violence taking place. And I truly believe that there's something that's a wake-up call for our community, it's a wake-up call for legislation and lawmakers, as well as a wake-up call for gun violence. But today we'll be focusing more on the lives of these individuals and how this horrific act of terrorism, violence, evil has really impacted us. And it's really a warning for all communities. It doesn't matter if we knew those individuals or not, or if we are in that area of South Carolina, or even family members that, you know, we all have lost someone through this tragic situation. And I just want to take this time to recognize them and remember them and let them know that their lives are not in vain. It's been a great opportunity and testimony for God's people to show love despite of such a horrific act taking place, and some light on those individuals. So as for everyone to know what has taken place, but if you don't, on the evening, which was a Wednesday evening last week, on June 17, 2015, a mass shooting took place at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in downtown Charleston, South Carolina. The church is one of the oldest Black churches in the United States and has been a site for community organizations during the Civil Rights Movement. The senior pastor and also a state senator was Pastor Mr. Clemente C. Pinckney, and unfortunately, he was one of those victims of that horrific act that evening. And before we continue on, I just want us to have a moment of silence before we really talk about this issue. Well, on June 17, 2015, I believe these faithful believers of Christ, churchgoers, Christians, went to a safe haven, the house of the Lord, a sanctuary, a place of worship, not thinking that such acts would ever take place in their comfort, in their second home. Because as a fellow Christian myself, going to church and being in a sanctuary is a safe haven. It is a place where you feel God's presence, where it's a serene. It's a place to get away from all that's taking place around us. It's a place to kind of disconnect and detach from that. But unfortunately, the church is also known as Mother Emmanuel. So those individuals going to Mother Emmanuel that day for their faithful, regularly Wednesday evening Bible studies, not realizing the young man that they were showing love to, the young man that they invited into their Bible study would be the same young man who did such a violent act. And the young man who committed such crime is a 21-year-old Dylan Roof from Shelby, North Carolina. And the interesting thing is that this situation is just new information keeps coming out, and it's just sad how a very troubled, delinquent person, but to have such a heart, even though these people showed him love and it was a predominantly African-American church, and this young man is a Caucasian gentleman, and they welcomed him into the church. They said, come in and fellowship with us. They said, come in and be a part of our church experience, and allowed him to feel God's love through their Bible study and connected with him, gave him a hug and embraced him. And as he sat in that church service for 1 hour and report says that he did think about not doing it, but then he continued on with the act despite the love and despite the atmosphere environment and how they treated him. And that is the sad thing, because it is something about that he was having a change of heart, but for whatever reason, he continued on with his plans. And I personally truly believe that he did not act alone, despite what they're saying, that, you know, rumors are that he was dating a woman and she started dating a Black guy. And then another report says that he said that black women were having too much power. And then another report said that he was a violent drug user. And, you know, it's all these different reports. But whatever the issue is, it's unfortunate that racism and this evil mentality, this evil thought still lives in our country and especially being in 2015, that we're still having to go through this, that there's still Ku Klux Klan, that there's still white supremacy, and not just white supremacy, there's also black supremacy as well. So it's both sides of the table. It's not just the white supremacist group as well. But yet I truly believe that there is some connection between this violent act that took place at this church. And the question is, why is it still there, and what can we do? As these nine individuals, there were 10 people that were shot that day, and one survived, and nine were lost their lives that evening. And to hear the stories of what took place that evening and how, even despite this horrific act, that these individuals, their families, the church members, they were able to get forgiveness. They were able to say, you know, despite what this young man did, and he killed our pastor, he killed our... We still love him. We still forgive him. And that is a move of God that no one can truly explain, because even I've grown up in church all my life, I don't know if I would be able to do the same thing. I don't know if I would be able to have the same heart. I think I'd be angry and bitter and have a grudge and want him to lose his life in order to regain the life that I lost. That was one of my loved ones. But yet this church, you know, I don't know if it was how they embraced their Christianity, their biblical understanding, but you can tell that they were truly biblically based teachings going on in that church for every family. Even a young girl whose mother died and who was a victim, she even said that she forgave Mr. Roo for what he did, despite he took her mother's life. And I cannot imagine at a young age to have that love and to have such a heart and a mind after Christ and a heart after Christ. I think that says volumes. But unfortunately, it had to be at the loss of these nine people who are being faithful to God and doing his will. But maybe their will on earth was to bring this about, because now there's some reforms taking place. Now we're questioning, you know, we're asking or demanding, I should say, that, and knowing that the South still has this rooted racial tension. The North does as well, but I believe the South more than the North and the West Coast as well. And to hear how such changes are taking place, and I hope it's not just the change of taking the Confederate flag down. That's one step, but the actual step is changing people's hearts, changing people's mind and how they view other people based on the color of their skin, because we all have the same blood. That blood is red. We all are human beings. We're all a part of humanity, of mankind. So it should not be a hatred because one person is black, one person is white, one person is purple, one person is another color. You know, we all should be coming alongside one another and realizing we all live on this earth and we all have a purpose and we all have something to give. And it should not be, because, you know, I'm a white person, I feel that white people should have privileges, or I'm a black person, I feel black people should have privileges. Unfortunately, that mentality does exist. And even recently in South Florida, on the news, there was a Ku Klux Klan, I guess, propaganda taking place in the Palm Beach area. The reality that we can't be naive to think that we're in the 21st century and that we have a president who's African-American, and actually he's mixed. His mother is white and his dad was African. So even though he comes off as a black person, to have him be an example that we think because we have a black president that racism would no longer exist, that there would not be any division amongst people. And I think actually, in light of our wonderful President Obama, Barack Obama, Mr. Barack Obama, I believe that during his election time in 2008 really brought the truth of people's hearts. I was so surprised at comments that people were saying, the way people were responding and acting, because he was a black person running for office, the highest position in our country and probably the most influential in the world. And to see that people's hearts were so hardened and still had racism and racial comments or racial slurs were just all over the place. And it just shows us that we still have that issue and something needs to be done by Mr. Ronald Fulton, who is the uncle of Trayvon Martin, who died many years ago in Sanford, Florida, when the whole movement of the hoodies and all these different things were taking place. And I think it was a day after, or a couple of days after this tragic situation, he said, "What are we going to do?" And I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to think or how to think, because I'm asking myself, what can we do? You know, this is a heart issue. Yes, we can change the legislation. Yes, we could demand all these different things, but it's a heart issue with people. You know, people have hatred in their heart. There's no legislation. There's no petition. There's nothing that really can be done, but just showing these people love and praying for them, that they'll have a change of heart and realize that the color of our skin should not be a division. The color of our skin is really a part of the process of the sun. You know, all of us were one race, and because of climate changes, because of geographical, because of migration, that people became different hues of skin color. But we all are one race. We all came from one place. I won't bring that into a debate, but before we continue on, I want us to recognize those individuals who were victims of this horrific act. As I stated before, the pastor was Clemente C. Pinckney, the church pastor and South Carolina State Senator. And I will also give information about their funeral services as well. Senator Pinckney, he will have two public viewings held Thursday, which is today, at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m., and at St. John African Methodist Episcopal Church in Ridgeland, and from 6 to 8 p.m. at Emmanuel AME in Charleston. And his funeral is tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Friday at TD Arena on the campus of College of Charleston. And President Barack Obama is scheduled to deliver his eulogy. And the burial will take place afterward at St. James African Methodist Church in Marlin. The next victim was Cynthia Marie Graham Heard. She was the Bible study member and manager for the Charleston County Public Library System and sister of Malcolm Graham. And her service is going to be, she has a wake that's running from 8 to 10 p.m. on Friday at Emmanuel AME in Charleston. And a ceremony will be conducted for the first half hour by the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, which she was a member of. And her funeral will be on Saturday at Emmanuel AME. And her burial service will be at the church cemetery. The next victim was Susie Jackson. She was a Bible study and church choir member. And her funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday at Emmanuel AME in Charleston. Jackson was Sanders' aunt, and their funerals will be held together. And I'll give information about that individual shortly. So Lee Lance, the church sexton. And visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday. The funeral will be 11 a.m. Thursday at Royal Missionary Baptist Church in North Charleston. The next one is Dee Payne Middleton, doctor, a pastor who was also employed as a school administrator and admissions coordinator at Southern Wesleyan University. And visitation for the Reverend Dee Payne Middleton Doctor will be held 6 to 7 p.m. Friday at St. Mark AME Church in Ravenel. A public viewing will be held from 3 to 6 p.m. Saturday at Palmetto Mortuary in Charleston. The funeral will be held at 1 p.m. Sunday at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. The next victim was Tiwanza Sanders, a Bible study member, nephew of Susie Jackson. And funeral service will begin at 2 p.m. Saturday at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. And Sanders' aunt was Susie Jackson, and their funeral will be held at the same time. Sanders, who also served at Greater Zion AME Church in Andwell. And services will be held Service will be held at noon Tuesday at Greater St. Luke AME Church in Charleston with a viewing before at 11 a.m. A wake will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday at Levy's Funeral Home in Columbia. The funeral is to be held the next day, July 2nd at 11 a.m. at Bethel AME Church in Columbia with a viewing before at 10 a.m. Then was Sharonda Coleman Singleton, a pastor, also a speech therapist and track coach at Goose Creek High School. Services will be held Thursday at Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church in North Charleston. A viewing will take place from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., followed by an Ivy Beyond the Wall ceremony, which memorializes a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. Funeral services start at the church at 2 p.m. And the last victim was Myra Thompson, a Bible study teacher. Viewing and visitation for Myra Thompson will be held from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday at the Palmetto Mortuary in Charleston and from 5 to 8 p.m. at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. The funeral will be at 11 a.m. Monday at Emmanuel AME. And those are all the victims that were a part of this. These are all the individuals who were victims, a part of this horrific act, as well as services, viewings, and funeral service. And you can find this information. I got that information as far as the funeral and viewing services at abcnews.go.com. And you can type in South Carolina victims or shooting, and you will get funeral service information. And so as we reflect on those lives and reflect on those individuals, I really do ask that all believers, all those who believe in Christ and all those who have a higher being, to pray for our nation and pray for this young man, even though he was of age to know what he was doing. But still, it's unfortunate that racism was such an evil thing that took over him, despite what other obstacles or despite what other situations he had going on prior, to think that this would be the answer to what had happened to him or what took place. And even pray for his family, even though his father was the one that gave him the gun, I believe as a birthday gift, from what reports have said, have a family member or a child to do such acts. And we just ask that prayer happens throughout the country and throughout the world for our nation. For, you know, the spirit of racism, I believe it's a spirit, you know, and I believe that nothing ever will be perfect in this world, as we know as believers, but yet we can still have hope and make an effort to make sure that this type of act does not happen in our country and that people will be able to go to their places of worship. And I was just so grateful to hear that people continue to go to church that this past Sunday, despite what had taken place. I pray that I didn't even have a doubt in my mind or a spirit of fear to say I won't go to church because it could happen in Fort Lauderdale. And I just ask that as we continue to live our lives, to not forget that each of us have a part in this country to make it great. Each of us have a role in this world to call out injustice, to speak against injustice, whatever that injustice may be, no matter how small or how big it is, that we all should be advocates of something and have a passion. And for me, it really stirred up something in me because I did not want to speak out. I am an aspiring politician, but I did not want to. I try to stay away from major events such as this to kind of keep my opinions to myself and keep quiet. But for whatever reason, and going to a prayer vigil that was in my local area, and something just in me just said, you cannot be silent any longer. God gave you a voice. God gave you a gift of advocacy. God gave you a gift of being involved in politics, and you can't take it lightly. You can't just brush it aside and just wait until you run for office to speak up and be an advocate for things that are taking place in this country. That you should really be speaking up now, because it's now that things are taking place, and you can't just wait for another opportune time. And it's not about about finding the right time, but it's about being obedient and speaking up when things are not right and speaking up when you know in your spirit that you should be saying something. And so I just ask God to lead me and guide me as I speak, because I think there should be a gun regulation. And even in South Florida, there is a company, a firearm manufacturing company, that wants to relocate its headquarters here in South Florida. And I called two county commissioners and asked them to not support that on the agenda when they had their county commission meeting this past Tuesday, because first we need to figure out what we're going to do with gun regulation before we can, even especially in South Florida, have a company come here. Our communities need to be safe, and people should be safe. And yes, it's people that use guns, and it's not guns that kill. But if there's a regulation and much stricter reinforcement on the gun laws, then people who are not in the right state of mind or who shouldn't have a gun, maybe we won't be able to control everything, but at least we would take some initiative and some steps to bring our country into a safer place with gun violence and gun regulation and gun usage, and finding ways that, you know, people who have mental disorders or are using drugs or have been in prison or are criminals, that they don't get ways to, they don't, there's not legally ways that they can get to purchase a gun. Yes, they could probably buy it in the street and borrow someone else's gun or take someone else's gun. But I think that as people, especially people of God, I think sometimes Christians think that they cannot get involved in politics. Christians think that they should not speak up and be advocates. But remember the life of Christ. That's what he did. He spoke up when there was injustice. He spoke up when something was not right. But yet he did it in peace. Yet he did it with humility. Yet he did it with respect. And I think that's the same thing that we need to take an example of and look at Christ as a model. And we have many leaders before us that also stood up when something was not right. Dr. Martin Luther King, Miss Rosa Parks, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and all these other individuals. Even in my family, I had an individual who stood up for injustices. And I believe, reflecting on his life and reflecting what he had done, that it was also God reminding me that that mantle has been passed on. And that I should also speak up. And I should also be an advocate and know when something is not right to not be silent, because silence also is an acceptance. And silence is also that you're going alongside of it. So if you're not speaking up about something that bothers you, then you're actually allowing it to happen because you're not speaking up against it. So I just ask that as we end the show today, it was just a special episode to remember those individuals who lost their lives last week Wednesday in a church setting as they were worshiping God, as they were learning about who their God was and their higher being, and finding ways to live out his principles and his beliefs and his traditions and teachings. But yet they were the great example, because not only did they show that they were sold out for Christ by being martyred, but also their families and their church members, because they forgave that young man. They forgave that young man for killing and taking the innocent lives of these people as they were worshiping in their father's house, the house of the Lord, the sanctuary, house of prayer. So I would like to close this show in prayer as well, as we ask God for wisdom, as we ask God for racial reconciliation, as we ask God for unity in our nation and harmony. Dear Lord, I just come to you as there's no other way, no other person that we could call upon. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You made us in your image. Despite what color our skin, despite what language we country of origin, despite whatever other divisions there may be in this world, Lord, we are yours. We are your children. We are one. And I ask you, God, that in this time, as we reflect on what took place last week, as many individuals were getting to know you, many individuals were being faithful to know your word and your truth. And God, I praise you. Despite that those lives were lost, but yet it's such a witness and testimony how they showed this young man love despite the act this young man committed afterwards, but yet how the church has shown love, how the family has shown love, and those who are grieving the loss of these nine lives, how they showed love to one another, how they showed love to this young man. They had a heart of forgiveness. They said, forgive him for he not know what he did. For forgiveness on and pardon him for his sin, this violent act. God, I ask that that same spirit, that same teaching, that same love would happen in all our hearts, Lord God, that we would be able to get rid of this spirit of racism, Heavenly Father, that there will be a place of unity, Lord God, that all tongues all nations, all tribes, all creeds, all individuals will come together and just worship the one true God and not look at the color of their skin and not look at all these other different things that have brought so much hatred and so much division into our world, into our country. Lord, I just ask that you continue to help us to be more like you. I ask, Lord God, that you help us to understand the times that we are in. But yet, Lord God, I pray that no individual stop going to church because of this act. I pray that the church doors will be flooded even more to seek your faith, to learn how to love people as they have shown love, to learn how to forgive people as they have learned how to forgive, but most of all, to learn how to be a great example of Christ as they were able to do. I just ask you, Lord God, that you just continue to help us to be wise in how we move forward in dealing with gun regulations, dealing with all the other ills of our society, Lord God. Help us. I ask, Father, that you rise up these young men and women who you have called for such a time as this, Lord God, to speak up. What are their community leaders? What are their advocates? What are their legislators, lawmakers, politicians, policemen, first line of defense, public servant of individuals, whoever they are, Lord God, that you call them to speak up when there's injustice. You call them to speak up when something is not right, Lord God. Because if they don't speak up, Lord God, how can we know something is wrong? How can we know how to bring light on a situation? Despite these 9 lives have been lost, Lord God, that there's an eye being awakening about the Confederate flag, even though it is a part of our country's history, Lord God. But it's also a symbol of racism. It's a symbol of hatred, Lord God. Father, it started with this shooting, and it's leading to taking down the Confederate flags. But, Lord, I just ask that it leads to changing hearts. Whether it's white supremacy or black supremacy, Lord God, I ask that you change their hearts, Lord God. If their hearts are hard and softened, Lord God, if they need to feel God's true love, Father, I just ask that you surround them with godly people who know you, who know your word, and who know your truth, but most of all, who can live out your love that you've shown to all people. Lord, we are all sinners in thy sight. Lord, we all ask for your forgiveness. But most of all, we pray for this young man's soul. We pray that you forgive him just as Christ forgave those who died next to him on the cross. One was a criminal. He was a thief, and he said, please forgive me when you go to paradise. Jesus said, your sin has been forgiven. And Lord, we just ask that you pray. We pray for the family of this young man, Mr. Ruth. We pray for his family. We pray for all those who may be affected by this evil act, Lord God. You to show yourself mighty and strong, and I know you are in control. Many people may say, where is the God if this is to happen? But yet we have to remember we live in a fallen world. And in this fallen world, many tragedies and many situations may come, but God is still a God of love. God is still a God of justice as well. And he is always in control as he sits on his holy throne and he looks down. And just as we think of Moses, when he was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was as he was praying that he was able to intercede on the behalf of a city that was burning because of a sin. Lord God, I pray that you awaken our hearts to pray as well. Pray for our nation. Pray for our global leaders. Pray for any ill spirits, anything that would bring division in our country, Lord God, that despite in 21st century, we're still having to deal with it. So I ask you, Lord God, just make a mighty move and just use us because we are your vessels. We are your ambassadors on this earth. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for you are worthy, Lord God. And we pray for these funeral services that will be taking place this weekend. We pray for the viewing, Lord God. And I just pray for any individual that may seek out revenge, any individual that may result to hatred in order to retaliate, Father, I ask that you turn that spirit back. I ask you, Lord God, that you take it out of them and that you give them a soft heart to love and a soft heart to just continue to seek prayer and to seek how they can bring justice into our country. And not result to riots and violence and all these other things that are taking place because of all the other situations with gun violence. Lord, we just thank you so much. We give this time to you. We give our country to you. We give the world to you. We give our global leaders to you, Lord God, because you know all things and nothing is hidden from you. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit runs through this place and do not forgive us, Father, because we are your children. We are made in your image, and we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. special episode for those 9 lives that were lost in the South Carolina shooting. And we also say that our regular broadcasting will take place tomorrow, 2 p.m. Friday, Eastern Time, as it does every week. And we have a special, we have an announcement to make as well, as there will be an event taking place next week. So we have the two men behind this great idea coming to be on our show tomorrow. So stay tuned. My name is Fayola Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure, here every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And sometimes we have special episodes, such as this, when we find it necessary to speak out and to share the news for what's taking place in our community. Thank you. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye.